Heavenly Father, we worship you, we praise you, we are in your house, and we are so grateful for this house. So grateful you called us to this family of God. So grateful how you're teaching us, Lord, to trust in you, to love you, and to love one another. So help us, Lord, continue to teach us. As we get together now and sing praises unto you, be blessed by the praise of your people. Come, pour your spirit out upon us, inhabit the praises of your people. Cleanse each one of us now by the shed blood of Jesus, Lord. Let no unclean thing even draw nigh unto this place. Now we pray, you be glorified. In Jesus' name we come. Amen.
Amen.
The resurrection of Jesus the Christ. The body of Jesus was not found in the tomb where he was laid just 3 days before, and his followers did not know where he was. And then we talked about how he appeared to Mary, who went to the tomb to complete the embalming process of his body. And we read of Mary weeping by the tomb. What has happened is that she went and got Peter and John. They came, saw the tomb was empty. They left. She stayed by the tomb. So let's turn to John chapter 20, starting in verse 10. See what the Lord has for us today. So, Larry, would you pray over the Word of God today, please?
Thank you for the privilege of seeing where you were, what you did, and where you walked. Appreciate that. Thank you for the Word that you provide for us. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice that you gave to save each one of us. Ask now that the Holy Spirit fall upon Randy, gives him the words to say, open our ears to hear. Ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Okay, so we jump down to verse 10 in John 20. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seating where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. So let's get into the scene. Let's draw close. Mary is weeping by the tomb where Jesus was laid just 3 days ago, but his body is not there. As she looks in, she sees two angels seated where Jesus' body had been, and they asked her, "Why are you crying?" And she replied what she had said to the disciples earlier, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." Her only way of explaining the absence of Jesus' body is that someone has taken the body away. What else could have possibly happened? She then turns around, and she sees a person standing there near her. And the word states that it is Jesus, but she did not realize it was him. Perhaps her eyes were still so full of tears that she could just really barely see. And then the man speaks to her. We continue in verse 15. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." The person we know already to be Jesus speaks to Mary, but she still doesn't recognize his voice until he says to her her name, calls her by name, Mary. And when he speaks her name, she recognizes the voice of her shepherd and her Lord immediately. She knows that voice. Now she believes. She has gone one-on-one with Jesus, and now she believes. Now she knows it to be true. So let us read on. That's what we covered a bit last week. And then from here, we read in verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Okay, now we jump to the evening on verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So on the very same day of his resurrection, now in the evening, Jesus appears to the disciples in the room. He came and stood among them, passing through the locked doors, and simply says, "Peace be with you." Then he shows them his hands, his feet. He speaks with them. The disciples saw him and heard his voice, the voice of their shepherd, the voice of their Lord. They know that voice, and now they believe. Now they've had their personal one-on-one moment with Jesus, and they believe. There's a lot we could do in those areas, but the Lord wanted me to move on to Thomas. Someone is missing from this group of disciples. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Wow. So here we see Thomas doubting. We all called doubting Thomas, but those to whom Jesus first appeared doubted at first as well, did they not? When they were told, they didn't believe it. It was just too unbelievable. They just saw how Jesus was beaten and scourged and his side was pierced. His body was limp and dead and carried to a tomb. Seeing him alive just 3 days later was just impossible to believe. Too much. So Jesus had to speak with the others. He had to eat with the others. We read in the other Gospels. He had to speak with Mary. Call her by name. Speak with the others. And they had to see him in human form that still showed the scars of his crucifixion and clearly see that he was tangible. He wasn't transparent and ghost-like, even though he passed through locked doors. So we've got to understand what their position is. It's like, whoa, how can this be believed? And so Thomas now is in the same state of unbelief as the others were because he hasn't seen the evidence that they have seen. Now, it seems a little strange that he could not believe his brothers and sisters who have been with Jesus from the very beginning, but he just couldn't grasp the concept of a physical resurrection from such a brutal, brutal death. So then Jesus addresses him upon his second appearance to the disciples in the very same house, very same place. Let us read on verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Wow. Jesus appears to the disciples again a week later in the same room. And just like last time, he walks through the locked door somehow. He just appears. He says, "Peace be with you," as he stands among them. And then he puts his attention to Thomas and says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Can you just imagine that? Try to get in the room there and see. Jesus appears again the same way, same place he did a week before, but now he looks at Thomas and he tells him exactly what Thomas said he would have to do. Wow. So you think he did it? I don't know. I imagine upon seeing Jesus and his wounds and hearing his voice, which he knew well. He knew the voice of his Lord. Seeing his solid body, not this ghostly body, I imagine he believed immediately, and I don't think he needed to do as he said he would need to do to know. Because he just simply exclaims, "My Lord and my God." There's something very important about this statement. Because here, Jesus affirms that he is fully God. Because if Jesus were not fully God in the flesh, if he were simply a man, he would have had to have rebuffed Thomas and directed his praise to the Father, not to me, because I'm not God, because he called him my Lord and my God. But Jesus accepted this act of worship from Thomas, proving that he is God. And perhaps they even remembered not that long ago where Jesus told them, "I and the Father are one." Remember when Philip said, show us the Father and we'll believe. And he said, "If you see me, you see the Father." Over and over he was saying that in those last periods before his death. And now all of his teachings are just starting to make sense to the disciples and to the other followers. Thomas has now gone one-on-one with Jesus. And now he believes. He has seen Jesus for himself. He has heard his voice, the voice of his shepherd, his Lord, his Savior. And he's even heard that voice call his name, Thomas, come. They're really starting to put it together now. So the question is, are you and I able to believe too, like they are? Remember, Luke 18, 17, Jesus told us to receive the kingdom like a little child. So we have to look at this like a little child, he said. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. We need to set aside our adult minds that want to use reason to explain all this. How is this possible? I can't believe it because it's just not possible. And we can't do that to explain God and his ways. We have to believe it like a little child. Well, in their case, they got to see it. And then Jesus said these wonderful words to encourage not only Thomas, but to encourage all of us. He said, "Because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Many of us here are those who have not seen, like the apostles have, and still believe. We believe because of these eyewitnesses, because God by his Spirit has revealed to us, each and every one of us, that it's true. Have that one-on-one moment with God. So by God's grace, we don't need to see it as they have. But he has revealed himself to each and every one of us at certain times. We too have gone one-on-one with Jesus. So let me show you why I believe, why others believe. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's a gift. The cost of our disobedience to God is death, but God provided a cost to be paid by Jesus Christ so that we, because of his love for us, could be rescued from death. And it's a free gift. 1 John 4:9-10 tells us, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." This is love, the word says. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and so sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then further down in verses 15 and 16, we read that if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. So we know and rely on the love that God has for us. This is part of the scriptures. It says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. That's why we believe. But how do we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you want to turn there, you may. Be a good scripture to have underlined or highlighted. Mine is underlined. It reads that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So let's tear into that. You are justified by your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of all who come to Him and accept Him as that Savior. And here, justified means that God sees you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and your faith in Christ. And so He sees you just as if I'd never sinned. I love that way to think of justified. It's just as if I'd never sinned or disobeyed God in any way at all. And of course, the word saved is sozo, and it means you are healed, you are made whole, you are restored. So that's what saved means. You're restored into the family of God. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And here again, what is God's grace? It is God's favor. His favor upon you and me. God's love is a gift of salvation, and His love to us is a gift, and salvation is a gift. All one must do is just accept it. Accept the free gift, God's love and salvation. And of course, John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. I know I always tell you guys this, but I memorized the first verse, of course, long ago in parochial school. But I like verse 17. He did not send His Son into the world to condemn us, but to save us. So what do you think? Does anyone here want that free gift God is offering, that love, that salvation, His forgiveness of sin, His restoration into His favor, to walk in God's favor? Man, all God requires is that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that means that you agree that He died to restore you into God's favor. And you agree that you have disobeyed God and you need that restoration. And then you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead by God so that we can be seen by God just as if I'd never sinned. I love that. So if anybody wants to go one-on-one with Jesus, what a great time. Just accept that free gift of salvation. You can come up here and talk, confess your need. I put a prayer in the bulletin. If you want to look at suggested prayer, we're going to sing a song. And let that song just minister to you a little bit. There's a prayer in there. If you just want to say it to yourself, between you and God, this is a great time to go one-on-one. One-on-one with the Lord. And maybe it's not about salvation, you're good, but maybe it's about other things. Ah, Lord, I know you've been bugging me about something. I want to bring that to you and give it to you. This is just a suggested prayer that I put in the bulletin. God just wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you confess that you believe in Christ as your Savior in your heart, and you confess it with your mouth. So let us sing a song and rejoice and worship our Lord and Savior.